Gosh, where's Linda Ronstadt when we need her?
When we need a heat wave. Where's Martha and the Vandellas? Mm-hmm. Where are they?
They originally did it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one version that I like. I just like her version because it just I don't know, it pumps it. It pumps it really good. It went away.
You found the right choice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
Anyway, yeah.
No heat wave here.
Yeah, well, it's not going to get up to 30 today, I don't believe.
It's not.
So it's definitely going to be cold. But you know what? The rain really helped yesterday. It's my driveway, where we pull a car up, we're okay. And you know, I widened my driveway this year. It was a pretty big deal getting blacktop, you know.
You were very excited.
I never thought my wife would be so excited about asphalt. And
hey, it's funny, the things that we, as we get older, right? The things we get excited about.
Driving up a smooth driveway instead of a bumpy gravel one. Anyway.
Your wife sent me a meme yesterday.
Okay.
Talking about, she tagged me in it, saying, you know, watching a horror movie, mm-hmm. and all I'm thinking is the dog okay? I just want to know if the dog's okay. It's so true. That is, she's got me down pat. That is exactly the way I feel.
Well, I mean, you think about it. You go back to, in our history of movies and such, Toto, I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
If Toto would have been harmed, people would have been devastated. Well, Wizard of Oz, I mean, it was a big deal.
It doesn't matter what it is. The reason I didn't want to watch Yellowstone was because the opening scene of Yellowstone with the horse. I don't want to see
that's
that.
The only time that
Old
happens.
Yeller, no thank you. I'm not interested.
You want to know one of the most intense scenes of everything that melted down and exploded in Independence Day is when they were in that tunnel. And they got into that little utility room inside the tunnel when everything was blowing up and the dog was running. And they were going, you know, whatever the dog's name was, it was mm-hmm. a golden retriever.
Right.
And literally it jumped in. They pulled the door shut as the explosion was going by
right.
them.
But they saved the dog.
They saved the dog.
I was listening to a podcast this week and they were talking about the mudslides in Montecito mm-hmm. and all the, you know, the fire and the mud.
Right.
And they were literally, this family was on top of their roof, huddled next to to the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And the mud is just going by.
Like water,
and it's them and their little three-legged dog.
Aww.
Luke, and they came with the
helicopters
to save them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we didn't have enough room, so we had to leave Luke. And I was like, oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you did not leave that dog.
You've got to have enough room for the dog.
And so they're talking about it because they're running out of fuel and they're
right.
getting everybody. And I'm yelling at the radio going, but what about Luke, the three-legged dog? Which they did save
good.
At the end. So it was all good.
Good.
So that's how we are with animals around here. And that brings us to this next story.
Yes.
Animal experts are saying you need to take some extra care for your pups. And I guess cats, too, if they're outdoor
sure.
cats.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it can be kind of rough on dogs in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ice melts that a lot of people are using. And apparently the chemicals and your pup's pads on their feet mm-hmm. are not a good mix.
Oh, well, that would make sense because some of them lick their paws like mine do. If you got chemicals there, your dog can get sick.
Well, yeah. They say the best thing you can do is when your pet comes inside, or even your cats, if they're going outside mm-hmm. some, because
right.
lots are indoor, outdoor,
yeah.
You need to make sure you wipe off their paws. They also make, because it's not just licking them, but it actually eats away at their paws.
Oh, yeah, because there's a thin skin on their pads.
It'll make it dry and
cracked. Sure, mm-hmm. just like your hands.
So they also make a paw wax.
Okay.
That you can put on your pupper's paws.
Protects them.
And that can work.
Okay.
And there are some pet-friendly alternatives if you're looking for, you know, something else to try to use. They do say, like you said, mm-hmm. to keep your pets from licking their paws and keep your salt locked up where they can't get
yeah.
to it.
Sure.
So, you know, make sure you do that. My dog, I don't know what it is about dogs, but like every single day
mm-hmm.
when I take my shower and I put lotion on, here they come.
No, really?
Here they come. It's like they know.
They know.
Oh, you've got a fresh batch of lotion on. Let's go. It's like, it can't be good for you. Stop it.
No, yeah, that's true.
They just can't resist.
I'll tell you what we had outside back, because things are melting, and we put a paper plate out with just some pieces of bread and stuff for the birds. Mm-hmm. And then Kara just put bird seed underneath our table outside. And I'm not kidding you. We had, at one point, there was 10 cardinals in our back. And I was doing some dishes, trying to get my hands to soften up a little bit. And I was just watching them. And it was really interesting, because we have a retaining wall with a set of stairs that goes up the middle. There were three cardinals on one side of the retaining wall, three on the others, while there were four down there eating. It was like they were standing guard to make sure nobody else was coming in. It was quite amazing.
That's funny.
I know it's a God thing, but it's like, how do you communicate? Were they up just up in the tree? Okay, we'll cover the retaining wall. That's, you guys go in for the food, and then we'll rotate.
They just know. Yeah.
It's inside them.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it's very neat to see nature.
The other thing that I think is interesting in the wintertime, at least at my house, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true at everybody's house, but I told you about Bruce Wayne, my squirrel,
who
would come and he would hang upside down on my feeder, and then he would eat. Yeah.
Oh, I was there one day
when Bruce Wayne came in and he hangs upside down. Yep. He would like get a handful and he would hang upside down and he would eat it.
Yep.
So, but in the wintertime, he doesn't do that. I don't know if he's stored up. Or if their habits change or whatever, but I've only ever had birds so far.
Yeah.
This year, because I know this because Baxter sits on the back of the sofa and watches the birds.
Right.
Which he does not bark at. Mm-hmm. But I think he's waiting for Bruce Wayne to come.
Interesting.
Because he knows he's gonna
Well, you stumbled on something here, Janet, and I'm gonna bring two things up. Number one, this is the 10-year anniversary of my heart surgery. So today was the day that they cracked me open like the crazy man that I am.
Why do you say it like
that? Well, they have to break your sternum and all
that stuff. Okay,
la la. And I didn't even know. Like, I was down. I mean, my wife said, you know, I couldn't tell you this till 3 months after. They shut your heart down because it has to shut off so they can do
Right, that's what they do.
I did know that. I was having tightness in my chest watching the playoffs. My wife got me in literally the next day to see my private doctor. He got my setup for my stress test on Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that concerns Dr. Sheetinger, who saved my life, one of the many. And he says, something on the backside of your heart, we're going to do a cath. That's where all the blockage showed up. That's Wednesday. They come in with this drawing. It looks like the flux capacitor on Dr. Brown
in
the first Back to the Future. And they said, we're really backed up right now. We're going to do you on Saturday. We don't normally do this on a Saturday because it was that bad. I was 99% blocked in the Widowmaker, 60 and 80 in the other two. So it all unraveled very quickly for me. So have the tightness in my chest, which I had some symptoms leading up to that. But by next Saturday, they're cracking me open and my heart surgery. So anyways, 10 years today. I'm very grateful for the second chance. I go in for a stress test, ironically, on Monday, just because there's been a few little things here have been bothering me lately. So, you know, we kind of go in for the oil change every now and then. So, and I talked about it last year. I tried to get it done two times. There were scheduling problems. They forgot to order this. I said, okay, I'm going to wait till next year. Doing that. The other thing. You stumbled on it, and I think we talked about this yesterday, and we didn't get to it. It's National Squirrel Day.
Oh, yeah.
Today's National Squirrel Day.
It is, and I love them.
Yes. So celebrate a squirrel today. Don't get so mad at them today if they come and get some of the bird seed. As a matter of fact, throw some extra pieces of bread out on the frozen ice and watch them try to get at it and slide down. It'll be entertaining. But squirrels do. They are an interesting part of the ecosystem for several reasons. But I do like really watching squirrels. And they vary from region to region on the color. You have some big ones out where you're at, right?
I have fox squirrels.
Yeah.
Fox squirrels are huge.
Right.
They are ginormous.
Yeah.
And pretty splendid to watch.
Now, it's National, one-liner day.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one-liner you always talk about when this about the squirrels can't make a decision? That's why there's so many.
The roadway of life is littered with squirrels that couldn't make a decision.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to make a decision. Right. Yeah, that's my philosophy.
I will slow down and stop and beep the horn. Sometimes the horn confuses them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, right?
Yeah, you got to aim for them. We are getting some text in today. We played a Friday Funny a minute ago.
Yeah.
A lot of our Friday Funnies are about Facebook today,
mm-hmm.
and how people, you know, interact with Facebook. We got a text from Brad in Roanoke. Says, the weird thing is nobody thinks about opening up their family album to the online public. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that's strange anymore. And you're right about that.
Well,
some people put
everything.
Far too much stuff.
This one lady that we know. Just couldn't seem to get a date with a guy because some of the weird stuff she put on Facebook. It's like, no.
Right, because people look at that stuff.
They do.
And then they're like, Leah says, the ones who can't make decisions are females. Hey, not always.
I'm glad she's the one.
And then Dale mm-hmm. from Huddleston says, he loves squirrels, especially with tomato sauce. Stop! No! We'll be back with real Friday Funnies in a few minutes. You're listening to The Morning Jam, and we're glad you're here with us. We also have the nonprofit spotlight coming up with some folks out of Danville and mm-hmm. the literacy program there.
Awesome.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
What a creep. The creepiest Facebook thing I did was visit an ex-girlfriend's Facebook page. That's like the electronic version of driving past your ex-girlfriend's house. Did you ever do that when you were younger and didn't have any self-control?
Yep.
Just driving. Why am I doing this? I shouldn't be doing this. This is a bad idea. What if she sees you? There she is! You speed away. She's like, Steve, is that you? Yeah, you caught me. I'm just passing through the cul-de-sac. I'm on my way. Yeah, it's faster. I don't know how. Don't ask.
I don't know how you pass through cul-de-sac. That's pretty good.
Let me tell you, when one time I was, I went on a date who was a client.
Okay.
Not so much a, well, you were a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Which I normally didn't do,
right.
But very persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I met his father, who ironically couldn't remember anything as a rule. But he asked me where I lived, and I told him.
Right.
And he said, "Son, didn't I pull your car out over in that neighborhood one time out of the snow?"
Oh,
and he's like, nope,
that
didn't happen.
Nope, that didn't happen.
Well, and that's what he had bought flowers and was going to put them on my car.
Oh, okay.
And I was going out with somebody else, and mm-hmm. he got mad and went to peel out and got stuck in the snow.
Oh, wow.
And but it was so funny because it was just like that. Steve, is that you? Oh my, everybody does it. Everybody's done it.
Yeah,
you know you have. You say you don't, but you know you've done it.
Okay, so. One of our listeners texted in because of our conversations about, I guess, animals and such. There's a place for all of God's creatures right next to the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh my gosh, y'all. See, you all pick on purpose just to get me worked up. That is just messed up.
Well,
how about a feel-good story? Yes,
let's do that, please. Okay.
Do you have any unused winter gear that's still in good condition? I'll bet you do if you check your closets. The Rotary Club of Salem is doing a coat drive. They started it yesterday, and they're looking for people to donate new or gently used coats on hangers mm-hmm. as well as other warm weather warm winter weather items. They say the primary need is for children's coats of all sizes, but they can use everything. I mean, let's face it, most kids can wear like adult small mediums, that type of thing.
Right.
And so they started that at at the Salem Civic Center.
Okay.
And they're looking to get donations to Mrs. Dorsey's Clothes Closet, which is a nonprofit organization. Last year, they collected more than 500 coats.
That's awesome.
So if you're in the Salem area, check those closets and get with Mrs. Dorsey's Clothes Closet there in Salem.
Okay.
So we used to do coats for kids many moons ago, and we would have different clients that would be collection sites. We collected a lot of coats during that time, and it is so cold right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, yeah, it's not going to hit 30.
And
today,
if you're
really
not in Salem, maybe you're in the Roanoke area or the Southside area, places like the Salvation Army and things like that. They can always use donations of warm gear for the wintertime. No doubt about that.
Hmm. Okay. I'm just rooting around, looking around. We missed Emma Bunton, Spice Girl's birthday today. She's 46.
That's what you're rooting around for?
No, I was just looking at some stories.
Oh.
It's her birthday.
It's like,
today.
Do you have a secret crush on her?
No, no. I really couldn't tell you any of the names of any of the Spice Girls. I really don't. I just wasn't into that music at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing Christian radio. You know, I could tell you a lot about Stephen Curtis Chapman and DC Talk during those days. But anyway, Spice Girls, they tried to make a comeback, didn't they? I think some of them.
Well, some of them still have a pretty good, pretty good career for sure.
There were no breakouts. I mean, like Beyonce, when she broke out from Destiny's Child, holy cow!
Yeah,
it's
like
she was rediscovered.
Yeah, the difference is I don't think there was anybody in the Spice Girls that had that level of talent.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true.
I mean, you've got Victoria Beckham. She kind of went on and did her Paris Hilton thing.
Right.
And became the fashion icon or whatever and married David and all that.
Right.
But they just didn't have, talent just wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a Justin Timberlake or something like that.
And then you've got Adele who just, I mean, honestly, if you see some of her very young pictures, it's kind of homely looking and very simple. But my God, what a voice.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's lost like 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks really good. I mean, I saw the CBS special. We fast forwarded through the Oprah stuff because my sister-in-law hadn't recorded it.
Well, she's
it at
just
Christmas
announced
time.
That her that what she's doing in Las Vegas is really having to be put on the sidelines just because she can't get the show together of COVID and delays and
can we talk about that just for a minute? Because I know this is sort of in the weeds a little, but you and I both been involved with events. Now you've been involved with a lot of different kinds of events. I've been involved with a lot of events, help planning, but you've been involved with plays and acting. And what it takes to pull a show off.
Shows,
people don't understand what goes into this.
Especially with a show like that. I mean, when you're doing a big stage show like that in Vegas.
Right.
I mean, it's everything
gotta be top notch.
Lighting and even if she's not dancing, there's still choreography and staging and all that has to be coordinated. So everybody has to be on board and they have to be at the rehearsals and everybody has to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got costuming and all that. There's just a lot to it.
And she says it's not quite there yet. And
even sometimes they'll transform the entire theater. Like they'll change everything. They change even the seating and the like everything to get the feel that they want.
Right.
Especially when it's what do they call it? A residency contract.
Yes.
Where it's going to be going on for a long period of time. Who knows when that's going to get going. COVID has really derailed that. Speaking of COVID, Governor Glenn Youngkin has released his COVID-19 action plan.
Okay.
Along with Executive Order 11. That's to provide health care providers the necessary tools to combat the pandemic and to devote additional resources to encourage Virginians to get the vaccine rather than mandate that they get the vaccine.
Right.
And issue clear guidelines to prioritize the use of rapid tests. I'm talking to people every day who are so frustrated at their workplace because it seems like every week there's a new policy.
Right.
Before, if you were around somebody, you had to quarantine for 14 days, but it's okay because we're still going to pay you.
Right.
And that's gone.
Right.
You know, If you're missing, you're gonna have to use your vacation or your personal days, mm-hmm. you know, things like that.
Right.
And the at-home test isn't gonna work. Now you have to have the rapid test. Well, the rapid test isn't gonna work. Now you have to wait for the long test. Yeah. There's a lot of confusion out there.
And that's the frustration with people. If you're just an average Joe, you're just trying to make ends meet.
Right. Some people live in paycheck to paycheck.
Right. And you just say, they're so screwed up, I'm just not going to do anything.
That's what's happening.
They're just giving up.
But that's what's going on. Now people are like, well, I can't afford to miss work.
Right.
If I'm not feeling well, I'm just going to go in. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Right.
Or I'm just going to go get tested and I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
And that's how this stuff spreads.
Yeah.
So he said today's announcement is designed to give Virginians the tool and resources needed to make the best decision for their families, to hopefully strengthen the hospital systems, and to ensure a strong recovery as we encounter new challenges mm-hmm. associated with the pandemic that has become a part of our everyday life. The main points are the allowing hospitals and nursing homes mm-hmm. to rapidly expand bed capacity by waiving some regulations with that. And providing flexibility for qualified out-of-state nurses and healthcare professionals to practice in the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking down some of those barriers.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this more as we get into the local headlines. Kimberly McBroom going to have some of those, and I'll share some more points of the actions that the governor's taken with these COVID-19 new instructions that he's given out. So we'll have that coming up.
All right. We're also going to talk to Todd Helms with the Literacy in Danville nonprofit for this Friday. Excited to talk to him about what's going on the South Side. We'll do that coming up out of the break as well. You're listening to The Morning Jam. More Friday funnies coming at you as well. Are we going to focus on Facebook anymore?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
I've got a theme going.
Good.
Currently 22 degrees in Lynchburg and Bedford, 26 in Danville, that's the warm spot, and 23 in Roanoke and Salem. So we're going to the warm spot here in just a couple of minutes.
I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this story about the T-Mobile store getting robbed. Lynchburg police have made an arrest surrounding the stolen box of cell phones at T-Mobile last week. The department says a man entered the store on 2605 Memorial Avenue and took the box of Samsung cell phones. So now we know at least what they were.
Okay.
We're wondering if they were iPhones. Police say they've arrested 57-year-old Sanders Miles Franklin.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
57.
Now, yeah, facing grand larceny charges in connection with the incident.
So it's not young and dumb. That's not what's going
older.
On there.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's kind of up there in age. Said he was located and arrested with the public's help, so way to go. There was a female customer inside during the time of the incident. She has not been identified yet, so we're thinking maybe it was a tag team kind of a scenario.
I don't know why I'm even more disappointed. I guess I think when people are young, they don't understand the consequence mm-hmm. sometimes.
Right.
But by 57,
yeah, you should know.
How you're impacting people. And
yeah, absolutely.
Don't do that.
Yeah. If you have any information, you can contact Officer Dickman at 434-455-6060.
Well, we were talking about Governor Youngkin's COVID action plan to try to help healthcare providers promote vaccination and to issue some testing guidelines just to try to bring some sanity to the things that we're going through. In addition to the things we mentioned earlier, like allowing hospitals and nursing homes to expand bed capacity without having to go through so many regulations, and providing flexibility for qualified out-of-state nurses and healthcare professionals to practice in the Commonwealth, they're also creating appropriate exemptions to scope of practice requirements to allow healthcare providers to care for patients, and expanding the number of providers available to offer the COVID-19 vaccine, and then expanding flexibility, overtime hours, and availability for personal care workers. According to Governor Youngkin, he will devote additional resources and efforts to encourage the nearly 1.6 million unvaccinated Virginians to get the COVID-19 vaccine, including directing the Secretary of Health to reprioritize resources toward vaccine education and outreach, including expanded efforts in disproportionately unvaccinated communities, and then hosting and attending vaccine events across the Commonwealth, working with governors across the country to learn best practices and what's working in other places, always smart, and then empowering Virginians to choose rather than to mandate.
All right. 7:38 on the Morning Jam, and we're always excited to do our nonprofit Fridays here. Todd Helms, going to have him on the air. Janet, you want to set that up for us?
Absolutely. So I reached out to Project Literacy. They are working in the Southside area. They're a nonprofit, community-based organization. Todd, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
We're really excited to have you with us today. You know, here on the show, we talk about this all the time. One of our greatest concerns with this pandemic is that our children are not getting the foundation that we need as far as literacy is concerned. Nobody knows how important literacy is to a person's life any more than you do, as you deal with people of all ages who are struggling with literacy, don't you?
Well, we don't actually deal with people of all ages. Our program is designed for people 18 years old and older. But we in that range, we have a variety of ages
right.
and learning styles, and we just welcome anyone who fits that age group who would like to get better with reading, writing, or with math to give us a call.
And I guess that's what I meant. So you see people who are 18 years old, but you may see people who are considered elderly who have always struggled,
yes.
and they've decided to make this change in their life.
That's terrific. Yeah, we do. When we get people like that who just want to become a better reader, writer, or better with math, it's really thrilling because it took a lot of courage for someone that age to give us a call.
You know, my father, his dad died when he was younger, and he really struggled in that area. My mother literally taught my father how to read well and to yeah. write well and to become a very successful businessman. But I mean, he was a grown man and did not have that foundational learning. I guess the message that you all send is it's never too late to learn.
You're absolutely right. It is never too late. In fact, we have someone who is in her 80s right now who is working hard to become a better reader. We actually have a tutor who was a former client who is also in her 80s who is now available to tutor others because she came to our program first.
That is so
That's
fantastic.
Great.
Because when you think about it, learning is reading is the foundation for everything. It just opens up a whole new world.
It is. It's not only the foundation for communicating and understanding practical reading, but it's also just a joy that we want other people to have in their lives. All of those of us who are part of Project Literacy enjoy reading for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend a lot of time reading things that are not as pleasurable, but we want to pass on the gift of literacy for pleasure and enjoyment and escape.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right. That's for sure. So, tell us more about. Of course, I was looking at your site, and it says on here that 20% of the people in that area are struggling to read and write, which is like one in every five?
Yes.
Okay. That's a scary number.
It's a high number.
But it's, you know what? I bet you this is reflective of the average statistics that you would have.
Mm-hmm.
The people, I mean, it's something that people don't talk about, but we need
right.
to talk about.
Absolutely.
So how do you work? How does this work? Do you work with volunteers?
We do. We're I'm the actually the only employee that they have at Project Literacy.
Okay.
And I recruit volunteers, and the volunteers recruit volunteers, and we offer a training session so that they are all prepared. And so what we really just need are people to come and take advantage of our opportunities for learning.
Well, so I even had a listener text in wanting to know if you're looking for volunteers. Now, if there's someone out there who maybe has that joy and that passion for reading, I would think that would be as important as anything to just start out with that. Do you train your volunteers so that they know where to begin?
Yes, we have a basic system that we use, the Laubach series that has been in place for many, many years, that it's anyone can follow, really, whether you've been a teacher before or not. But we offer that as training, and then from that basic series, we can expand in many different directions and have lots of other opportunities and materials for people to use. So for anyone who wanted to volunteer, you can give us a call at 434-483-7994, or you can contact us right from our website, which is danvaliteracy.org.
Well, we're going to share that on our Facebook page, and we'll be able to connect people that way.
Todd, I just have a quick question as someone who struggles to read because I'm dyslexic and I do live radio, which is insane. But, you know, there is a level of embarrassment that goes with this. How do you help folks, especially as they get up in age? You know, they've been functional in society, but they're embarrassed about their ability to read. How do you encourage them to say, come on, let's just work at it a little bit?
Well, we want to make sure people know it's a confidential service.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-on-one service. And if you're interested in being part of our learning opportunities, the first step is to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sit down with you, and we'll talk about your interests and abilities and things that you would like to learn. And then from there, you're placed into a certain level of instructional materials.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you're placed with a tutor who wants to help you. So we encourage people who have all sorts of learning differences
mm-hmm.
to come in and let us see what we can do to help.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's very cool.
Very, very hopeful, too, at the same time.
Todd, we know you're under the weather, and we appreciate you joining us and kind of struggling through this interview. We love what you're doing there. We're going to share and spread the word as best we can about the work that Project Literacy in Danville is doing for the citizens there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, well, it was my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about something I really enjoy.
You know, Mark, we talk all the time on the show about, you know, breaking generational poverty mm-hmm. and things like that. Every important social issue is impacted by low literacy.
Yeah.
It is. If you had to bring it down to one thing mm-hmm. that can make all the difference as far as equality,
right.
Coming out of poverty, being healthier,
yeah.
It all is impacted by literacy. It matters so much.
It is 7:46 here on a Friday.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
If you add me on Facebook, don't get mad if I like your stuff. Because people are always like, oh, your Facebook's stalking me. I'm like, that's what Facebook is for. We're friends on Facebook because I don't like you in real life. That's how it works, right? Also, you can't call it Facebook stalking if you accept my friend request. That's like seeing me in the bushes and inviting me in. That's your fault.
Wow.
There were warning signs.
So this is the first child we've had during like the big social media boom. So my wife has been posting pictures of the baby on Facebook. which has led to my mom finally joining Facebook.
Wow.
And it turns out that my mom has no business being on Facebook. She calls it the Facebook. And she's driving me crazy. Here's what she does. She posts things on there, and then she calls me on the phone 2 hours later to see if I saw what right. she posted. Like, hey, mom, you're ruining the best part of social media, which is not having to talk to anyone.
Okay. This is perfect. This is perfect setup for what happened to me yesterday.
She probably calls it Instagram, too.
Yeah, this probably. So, you know, I try to rest. And sometimes when I'm resting, I'm laying down. I'm sending myself videos that I can pull audio from. And that's my way to unwind. All right. It's still work-related, but I can unwind. So I get a phone call from my in-laws. They're setting up the new computer that we just got them.
Okay.
And, well, it's a used computer, but it's new to them. So they've... You know, my father, I got him on FaceTime because I said, I can't do this without at least doing FaceTime. My father-in-law's got a bundle of wires in his hand, and I can see it. It comes in and out of the screen every now and then. And my mother-in-law, God bless her, she's holding the phone, but I swear I'm on a ride at King's Dominion on this thing. I'm getting dizzy just trying to follow what she's shooting on the screen. It's just going all over the place. So we got the computer up and running. We got the screen fixed. The screen had the 2 inches to the right were black. So I said, so that's not a computer issue. That is an actual hardware monitor issue. You can't fix that with the computer. You have to push the buttons on the monitor itself. Man, those folks in Indy are patient people that give us tech support. God bless them. Because I was about to lose it yesterday. And I truly love my in-laws, and I want to help them. And they're probably listening and going, you know, Stan, we're not calling him for tech support again. It's just we got it to the point where we recognized the printer, but we couldn't get the computer to talk to the printer. And it was sitting there for 5 minutes not going anywhere. I said, look, I'll call you back in 15 minutes. So that was, 14 hours ago. So we haven't connected. Although I did get a picture from my mother-in-law. This is what came up after it went through all that. And I'm trying to go to bed. My wife says, this is my wife. These are her parents. She said, honey, you don't have to answer the text right now. You're going to have to put some boundaries down. I said, babe, I'm just seeing the text for the first time.
That's because
I'm juggling my relationship with my wife and my relationship with her parents.
Let me tell you something.
It's complicated.
Carol Lamb is like border patrol. Nobody puts up boundaries like that chick. That's for sure.
And she'll probably be in it for the long haul because she does understand that part.
One of my biggest pet peeves on social media is misinformation.
And
There's a lot of it. And the Facebook has a tendency to only remove certain sides of the mm-hmm. misinformation. There's a new article in Politico who really, this person, this group really sought to figure out who is spreading mm-hmm. the misinformation. I mean, we've got misinformation about everything. We've got misinformation about the pandemic.
Right.
We've got misinformation about vaccines. We have misinformation about politics and people. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. According to the findings of this survey,
right.
Their findings are suggesting it is misguided to assign blame for misinformation to the, because who usually gets blamed for it? The political right.
Well, yes.
That's most broadly.
Because they're the ones that get squelched and censored.
That's who gets done. So then we get even more polarization from that. Instead, they thought it would be more productive for researchers, social media platforms, that type of thing, mm-hmm. to see exactly what's going on.
Right.
Our findings showed that fact-checking was not an effective way to prevent conservatives from sharing false news story, meaning other interventions are needed.
Mm-hmm.
But to be clear, there are a variety of individuals who are sharing misinformation. Mm-hmm. Low conscientious liberals, high conscientious liberals, mm-hmm. and high conscientious conservatives all express willingness to share fake news articles to a similar, relatively small degree.
Mm-hmm.
low conscientious conservatives stood out a bit more on average. They were 2.5 times more likely to share misinformation than the combined averages of the other groups. It was a combination, though, of conservatism and low conscientiousness that resulted in the greatest likelihood to share the misinformation.
Okay.
Every time you share something like that, you lose credibility.
Right.
Every single time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many. There have been people that I've completely stopped following. Mm-hmm. They spread so much stuff that's wrong
right.
that I get exhausted from going, okay, let's go back and look at this again. If it sounds too good to be true, chances are it's too good to be true.
True, right.
You know, if you hate Nancy Pelosi and you read a story that she's making coats out of puppy fur,
right.
chances are it's not going to be real.
Right.
So apparently there's plenty to go around.
Sure.
Plenty of blame to go around. Randy yeah. says conspiracies become facts in 6 months.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes or less.
That could be.
You know.
That very well could be.
Yeah. I don't know if that screen is still up or not. My wife admonishing me.
Well,
could be in trouble.
She's setting up your boundary,
awfully,
buddy.
Awfully cold to be sleeping outside right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, hey, I reached out to Colt. We'll see if he can give us a little bit of assistance because there's a ransomware deal going on out there. So we may do this next week because this is going to be around for a little while. Ransomware, one of those things that can attack our computers. Speaking of computers, a little while ago with my in-laws, they one time, and I don't think they'd mind me sharing this story, somebody seized their computer once, and they said, you know, they're moving my mouse and stuff. I said, Mom, shut it down. Call your credit card company right now and shut that card down. This happened on a weekend. And sure enough, it was folks getting ready to seize her stuff, and thankfully we caught it in time. She shut her credit card down. It just really irks me that they go after elderly because they're so trusting in so many ways, and they want to believe the good in people, and so do I, and I think Janet, you do too. But
I do.
We have to be gentle as lambs and wise as serpents.
I'm automatically suspicious.
Yes,
any pretty much any time I get a phone call, there is a new scam going on in the Bristol area, in the Virginia area. They're warning people about it. They've been getting multiple complaints, and it's the jury duty one, saying that a warrant for their arrest has been issued, and you need to purchase a prepaid credit card to pay the fee. Come on.
Yeah.
How is this
right
even
there,
working?
Right there, that's a red flag, yeah.
They say you never, ever give a bank or credit card information over the phone unless you know exactly who you're speaking with. And if you've given any money to one of the scams, you do need to reach out to your local police departments. We've seen that scam in this immediate area as well.
Yep.
It's not unique there. As a matter of fact, we had the Better Business Bureau on just last week, and we were talking about some of these scams that are out there now. The Amazon scam has been very popular as well, where they're calling you and saying, we think maybe this isn't the right purchase. Would you like to connect with the person to find out? Yeah, don't do that. Hang up immediately. Bill Trefero is coming up at the top of the hour, and we've got another hour to go. Thank you for spending part of your morning with us. We're glad you're here with us. I'm Janet Rose.
I'm Mark Lamb, hoping for more Facebook funny bits.
It's coming.
Are we? Oh, good. We have some for the 8 o'clock hour. Awesome. CBS News is bringing you the news. They'll probably talk about Meatloaf's death. We talked about it already a little bit on the show. Meatloaf passing yesterday. One of our contemporaries for Janet and myself, and maybe you, we're losing him, but we're going to still play the music, and we have those recordings that we can treasure for many, many years. You know, 2 hours.